kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Got a title today we're going to talk on faith, and our title is Faith Begins Where the Will of God is Known in the Heart. Faith begins where the will of God is known in the heart. I think we have at times underestimated how God gets the word into our hearts. We all of us at times, and particularly when we first got saved, we set targets of reading the word, say for an hour a day, or for a half an hour in the morning and a half an hour in the evening, and at least listening to a message and so on. And all of that can have its place. And we have to start somewhere. And that is the mercy and grace of God when he comes into our lives and he saves us. We start that walk with him. But it doesn't take long to learn that God's ways are not our ways. And we begin to learn that our human efforts, doing things in our own strength, doesn't lie with God. God is going to get all the glory, and he's going to teach and show us how we glorify him and how we get faith, a faith that believes and trusts God, and a faith that matures and grows. Now, we've heard that myriads of times. And yet, as the title says, faith begins where the will of God is known in the heart. Note, it says in the heart. Many of us know the will of God, but we don't always know it in the heart. That is the place where God dwells within us. That is our new heart, our new nature. That is that area within us that is a mystery, that you can't define clearly. You can't put your hands on it, but you know it's there. You know God has done something in your life. You are not the same. You have changed. Your outlook is changing. Your attitude, your motives, everything has changed. It's a complete turnaround. And it's often very difficult to explain this unless you experience it. And it is exactly the same with faith. Faith that is within the heart. And we can only tell people to go to the Word of God and hear the Word of God to get that faith. And we all know that Rome was not built in a day. And we are, after many, many years, some of us, still walking by faith and still learning. You see, faith begins where the will of God is known in the heart. And faith rests on the will of God alone and on God's will only. It doesn't lie on desires or wishes. Our faith in the early days was very much connected with desires or our wishes or based on our emotions or whatever it would be. Now, of course, the Bible says that he gives us the desires of our heart. but we have to know those right desires that come out of a pure and upright heart. And that is the point. And so we have this journey where we walk with the Lord each day to learn the will of God in order so that our faith can embrace God's word and promises. You see, it's not God can, but will. And that is what challenges us. We like to talk with regard to faith, well, God is able and God can and all things are possible with God. But you know, those statements actually let us off the hook. They are not actually challenging our faith. Where we say, but God will. He will do that. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys with regard to faith. Now we know the story very well in Matthew chapter 8 verses 1 to 4 where Jesus had to change the confession, the theology if you like, of the leper. And here it is in Matthew 8 verses 1 to 4, and he says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And the Lord doesn't stop there. The Lord is not actually, it's not as though he's not going to accept it. He has to put him right. He's got multitudes. He has got people there who are watching, who are listening, and he has to correct their thinking. The same as he's correcting our thinking tonight in this room. Because he then says, are you willing? You can make me clean. Jesus said, then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be cleansed. In other words, he revealed, I am. I heal. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not if it's your will, which we so often do, he says, I am willing. We also need to remember that Calvary meets all our needs. Not just some of them, it meets all our needs. It met with our sin, our rebellion. And it was able to deal with that. And it doesn't stop there. It's able to deal with our unbelief. It's able to deal with our faith. It's able to deal with us settling on the word of God. Calvary has provided all of God's means for us. All of his provisions. All that he is, all that he says and all that he promises, Calvary provides it. Are you noting that your confession needs to change? Our confession is being challenged. The word meets all our needs. As he said, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added. God knows what you need. And that is why he's given us those promises in order for us to experience that. For example, what does it say in 1 Thessalonians? Chapter 2 and verse 12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12. that you would walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. So he challenges us that we walk worthy of God. You don't undermine, you don't alter or change, but you walk worthy of the provisions that he's given to us at Calvary and through his shed blood. And this is why faith begins where the will of God is known in the heart, so that we can walk worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Well, there it is. You are called. And that is why God has to call from the foundation of the world, else nobody will be able to be worthy to walk this. So the very fact that you and I have been called and chosen from the foundation of the world, it raises that question that I'm so often bringing up. Did God then make a mistake? No. No, he didn't. God called you and I to walk this walk of faith and to succeed and to overcome and to triumph. And that is why we need a greater revelation of Almighty God in our hearts, and not to limit him to our lives, to our problems, to my little world, and so on. We are so locked in ourselves so often. We are so blinkered that we cannot get this greater vision and understanding that Almighty God himself, the creator and maker of the whole world and the universe, called you and I from the foundation of the world. How dare we insult him with our unbelief? And yet we do. God is expecting much more out of us now, saints. He's going to challenge us. He's going to stretch us. He's going to, if need be, allow you to go through trials and testings to get this faith to work for his glory. Trust me, the message doesn't change. What does it say in Proverbs? Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. Proverbs chapter 4, 20 to 23. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. And then he says, keep your hearts with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. And so it goes on. Tremendous words there. Give attention to the word of God, because faith comes by hearing that word. Incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, become attuned. Listen to it. Put your ear to it. Put your ears to what God wants you to hear by the anointing. Do not let them depart from your eyes. In other words, this is why I keep saying about the deeper life. In other words, it's the word of God. That's really what we mean. Don't let it depart from your eyes, your ears. We are so dependent upon this. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Let it be a meditation. Let it be there. Keep it there. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. There's the healing that follows. And yet we make it so difficult, don't we? Thank God for his mercy and compassion, his long suffering, how he bears with us. I'm aware sometimes when I find myself going before God and praying certain things, I'm thinking, Kim, move on, mature. He doesn't need to hear that anymore. There are far more important things. But if the cross is not doing its work in our lives, then our prayers are so going to be centered on ourselves and our situation, our problems and our trials. And you've got to move on to that, to get that healing for your flesh. Because God's showing that our faith is so much, 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 much bigger. What does he say in Matthew 12, verses 15 and 16? Matthew 12, verses 15 and 16. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there. This is where he heals on the Sabbath, the man with the withered hand. And we take it up and he says, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there and great multitudes followed him and he healed some of them. No, it says he healed them all. And note before that, it says a great multitude. There's a lot of people. Yet he warned them not to make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. And so it goes on. God was showing mercy and compassion. He meets our needs. Matthew 14, verse 14. Matthew 14 and verse 14. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. The same God who had mercy and compassion on them is the same God today, now, this moment, over us. And he doesn't change. What does it say in verses 34, 36? When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent out into all the surrounding regions, brought to him all who were sick, and begged him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched it were made perfectly well. Wow! Just listen to all of this. God's anointing heals the oppressed. What does it say in the book of Acts? We're just looking at some of these to remind ourselves that faith begins where the will of God is known in the heart. Acts 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And there you are. So there's some great clues given away with regard to Jesus' ministry. He says that Jesus Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, so he's baptized with the power of the Spirit. He's going about doing good and healing all who are oppressed by the devil. Why? Because God was with him. God was doing it through him. And it's the same with us. God does it through us. It's God's will that we continue his ministry. And we all want to back off at that point, don't we? And just leave it to a few that we think are anointed or who should do it. Instead of saying, here am I, Lord, use me. Many are called into ministry. Well, I'm not going to say many. Some are called into ministry because they hear the voice of God. And when they hear the voice of God, they respond, say, here I am, Lord. I'm willing. I've heard you speak. Now, we're not all talking about becoming apostles or going into the fivefold ministry, but it's still the same principle to be used. And that is the point. John 14, verses 12 to 13. John 14, verses 12 to 13. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. The Lord isn't stating there that he's speaking just to a teacher or an evangelist or an apostle or whatever. He's talking to disciples. He's talking to you. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Here he says several times, ask, ask in my name. In other words, no, I've not made a mistake. You heard correct. Hallelujah. We ask him to do it. You see, we have to be like the early church. We take Christ at his word. Christ's healing ministry should never have stopped. And the enemy knew that God had given the church the power to heal in his name and to cast out demons in his name. And this is why he attacked it like he did. And the church fell into the dark ages of unbelief for centuries. And it survived because there was a remnant in each century. This is why we're being restored and being brought back to this apostolic faith. We know the great commissions that are given in Mark 16, 15 onwards. You know it. Go forth, proclaim the gospel, baptize in my name, speak with new tongues, cast out demons, raise the sick, the dead. That's what he's saying. We know all of these, don't we? We've read them, we hear them. But the title says faith begins where the will of God is known in the heart. And all the while, God is addressing this to us, and we've heard it many, many, many times over the years. He is still saying, it's not in your heart as it should be. And you'll know when it is. But praise God in his mercy and grace, we're on the way. We're on the right path. And he's going to do it for his glory. We know what it says in James 5, verse 13. I'll read it quick. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing psalms. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. And it goes on about confessing and believing, about fellowship. Would he ask us to pray like this if it isn't his will? Of course not. We know it's his will. All of us agree with that. We're not arguing with these scriptures. Our problem is that it's not in the heart as it should be. Because we've got to hear. We've got to hear with our hearts. We have to take these teachings away with us. And we have to seek God in prayer and in our closet. This is why I always encourage, jot things down. Take some notes where the Lord's speaking. For the very purpose, you take that before God. And pray that through so that you get that into the heart. We know at times that God chastises us. So we know it's his will in order for us to do that. Because he doesn't want us to get out of his will. And it's so easy to get out of the will of God. It really is. And then you find God begins to chasten us for the very purpose he wants us in his perfect will in order to deal with our hearts where faith should be. And how do we maintain that? How can we keep in the will of God? And know the will of God or not go out of his will? Well, 1 Corinthians 11 tells us, verses 31 to 32. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 31 to 32. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. Therefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat or wait on one another, and anyone's hungry, let him eat at home, or lest you come together for judgment. And the rest I will set in order when I come. But the two verses really are 31 and 32. If we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. There are times you have to come hard on yourself. No, your flesh doesn't like it. Your pride doesn't like it. But there is nothing like coming hard on yourself. And that way, you keep in the will of God. We judge ourselves in order for God to open our eyes so that we won't be judged with the world. That's why. I'm just going to say it. Healing, blessings is for those who obey. And I know that is not something that's very palatable today. It's not something that goes down very well in the house of God. But that is it, brothers and sisters, because I don't know how else to present it. Here we are, Psalm 25 and verse 10. Psalm 25 and verse 10, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. In other words, obeying. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth. So there we are. There's nothing that God sets in your life and my life that cannot be achieved. Why? Because God's mercy and truth goes with it. That is why he said to the apostle when he sought him three times about his thorn in the flesh, "My grace is sufficient for you." In other words, he's saying, my mercy and truth is with you. To such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. And everything else flows from that. And this is why we judge ourselves, in order for God to open our eyes. It's called bowing the knee, humbling yourself before him, so that we won't be judged with the world. And this is why we have made so much about pride and haughtiness. God opposes it. God actually has to repel it, push it away from himself. And as I've said many, many times, pride, haughtiness is spiritual cancer to a believer. And God isn't going to have it. And the reason they have that problem is because they do not judge themselves. They believe they're right with God. You see, the heart is deceived. And we deceive our hearts. And we do it so easily. But God is merciful. God is changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. He's cleansing the sons of Levi. What a privilege this is. What a blessing. So that healing, deliverance comes our way. And it's blessings and healings for those who obey. And when we finally see the cause of chastening, we then turn from it. And that's how he delivers us. When we finally see it, when it's dropped from the head to the heart, we can then turn from it. And God promises it will be withdrawn. It will no longer be a problem to you. You are healed from it. This is why healing always starts first in the heart. This is where the Holy Spirit, he works, and he has a reason for that. Well, as I bring this to its conclusion, we know very well book of Joel. And I want us just to remind ourselves again what he says here with this. The book of Joel, chapter 2, verses 25 to 27. The book of Joel, chapter 2, and verses 25 to 27. And this is the work in progress. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army, which I sent among you. So there we are seeing what God is restoring. He's bringing back to the house of God, where we're now finding ourselves. We've come out from religion, from bondage. We're now back under the headship of Christ. Now he's delivering. He's getting rid of all these plagues, these locusts that hinder. These are spiritual plagues he's talking about here. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dealt wondrously with you. And he is. He is dealing wondrously with us. He could have given up on all of us, but he doesn't. He continues to stay with us and ever be faithful. And he says, and my people shall never be put to shame. This is why we can thank the Lord for the deeper life in the Spirit, because it doesn't put us to shame. He doesn't make a mockery out of us. He doesn't make us look ridiculous as we are standing and confessing and believing that by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. He doesn't put us to shame when we're correcting our confession. We're wanting our confession to line up with the word of God. Oh, the world out there may make a mockery out of us, but God doesn't. And he says, then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. In other words, I am with you. The same as I read back when Jesus had the Holy Spirit, baptized with the Holy Spirit, and it says God was with him to heal. This is what it's going to be with us. Then you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel. I'm with you. I'm in the midst with you. I am the Lord your God, and there is no other. My people shall never be put to shame. Here it is. He brings it up twice. You will not be put to shame because my glory is with you. And then it goes on and he says, and it shall come to pass afterwards, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And so it goes on. And daughters shall prophesy, old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. On my men servants, my maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And that is what is happening now in the time of restoration. God is restoring his body. We have got too many around today who want to put new wine into old wineskins. They want those revivals. They want just the power of God and everything. God isn't going to do this in this last work. He is raising up new wine and new wineskins to pour his spirit out in this last day, which will last, because you will not be put to shame. What is he meaning there by shame? Well, if you look at revivals right through the centuries, they've landed up in the end a sham, a shame. The same warning that God was giving to the Galatians. You've started in the spirit and now you're finished or perfected in the flesh. And that is what man always does. Have you ever thought that God has had enough of that? Because it's about his glory. This is a new work he's raising up now in restoring, bringing us back to apostolic faith, power and anointing under the fivefold ministry, bringing us back under his headship and not under some man or denomination or some old system that man's trying to revive. Not at all. We need to get a greater vision of God and what he's doing. He has not made a mistake, brothers and sisters. God has been selecting over these years, just like Gideon's army, reducing that army from 30-odd thousand down to 300. And that's how God does it. So that they are entrusted with the word of God. They're not trying to change the word of God or the revelation of God's word. They receive it and accept it as God reveals it. That is the difference. And that is what he's been doing with you and I. Oh, we've had problems with the word of God. We have. We need to be honest. You see, faith begins where the will of God is known in the heart. And we've had a head full of theology a head full of verses and everything, but it's got to drop that 18 inches. And when it drops that 18 inches, then you know God is with you. And God is with you to use you and to heal the sick and to cast out those demons and to share the good news of the gospel. He is with you, empowering you for souls to be saved and brought in to the kingdom of God. Those days are going, brothers and sisters, where you have looked too much to other people to do that. The challenge is, here am I, use me. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, you hold nothing back. You want us to know. You want us to know what is in your heart. You want us to know that you are with us in all that we meet and encounter each day. But Father, we have to obey. We have to do what you reveal. And as you have said today, that faith begins where the will of God is known in the heart. Father, place this word, the blessing of this word, the anointing of this word, the revelation of this word. Father, in your mercy, place it within our hearts for your glory. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
Let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.